Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by Upstate Medical University and University Hospital. This is Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. I'm here with Dr. Gregory Eastwood from Upstate Center for Bioethics and Humanities. Great conversation also with Dr. Lynn Cleary and Sarah Fabiano, medical student at Upstate. This balancing act is huge. And Dr. Cleary, we want to talk a little bit about perceptions of patients and perceptions and expectations of physicians, and Dr. Eastwood as well, to talk about how our expectations and perceptions might be different, how we come to this relationship with different points of view. So why don't you get us started, Dr. Cleary?
So actually, I was a patient this morning, had to go see a physician before I came here.
You did.
And, we take these two roles, and I wanted to get in there quickly, find a parking spot, get processed at the front desk, see my doctor, and make it back here on time. So, there's the issue of what were my needs? How could they be taken care of? How could I do it efficiently? Was I going to get the information I wanted? And this morning's experience was wonderful.
So excellent.
As a physician, I want to provide that kind of service to my patients and all my colleagues and the medical students and the residents we work with. We want to do this. So I think we have the same goals in mind. But when we're talking about how can we deliver that, there's one thing about having the right goals and having a good relationship and communication between provider and patient, and the other is talking about the system within which we deliver this care.
Yes, which gets more complex every day. And as we took the break coming through the news, we said let's introduce the money aspects of this because it has a huge impact on how all of this comes about, doesn't it?
Mm.
It does.
Yeah. So this system, when I talk about a system, it is exactly what I described from my visit to the doctor this morning. It's all of the business parts, all of the delivery parts, all of the communication parts. Are the records working in the office? Can we access the information quickly? Can the patient talk to a human being instead of a recording and five levels of recordings when they mm-hmm. call the office? And how do we as physicians interface with our health professions colleagues and clerical colleagues and business colleagues to make something that's very patient-centered, that makes the system work?
When I go back to my original question, is how have things changed over the last 30 or 50 years and how medicine is delivered to patients? And to me, the biggest changes have been just that, the delivery model. Dr. Eastwood, I would suggest that, and you've talked about it before, and Sarah, I think you could speak to this. When doctors are attending medical school and going through residency and want to become doctors, they are almost idealistic in how they want to deliver, how they want to perform for patients, and it's exactly what patients want to hear about, but somehow the real world steps in the way.
Well, the real world, of course, steps in the way of everybody as we mature from childhood to young adulthood to more mature adults. In medicine, I've been continually gratified over my long career at how constant the values and ideals of people coming to medical school have been. There really is a very high dose of altruism that still is there, very strong.
And, I'll say to you, you invited me last year to be with one of your classes, mm-hmm. and I absolutely found that to be true. And we talked to young people like Sarah. They are, and I love it. It's great to see. But then the real world gets in the way.
Well, the real world gets in the way, or at least the real world does what it should do, actually. It modifies one's views. One would hope, and the experience I've had in this medical school as the students progress through the 4 years, is that the basic core values that they came here with generally are maintained. Of course, they're modified by very practical things, which people learn along the way. And one would hope that as they go through residency programs and into middle age and so on, those would be maintained. What we've seen over the last couple of decades, though, is a sort of visible disenchantment of middle career physicians because the rules have changed a great deal. Whether that's the majority of physicians or not, I don't know, but it's been a vocal number of people. So I think that has affected the way the general public view this. But I'm here to tell you that the core values of medical students and young physicians seem to be the same as they always have been.
And again, it goes back to that whole the reimbursement models where insurance and Medicare and so forth, the reward is not for talking to your patient. You know, if you want to get reimbursed for the work you do, if you want to keep the lights on and the staff paid and the hospital doors open or the practice doors open, you have to deal with that real world. And doctors aren't business people. They have to learn in the trenches almost, don't they, Dr. Cleary? Mm. It's not about having this instant understanding of running a business. It's more about, I want to treat my patients, and everything else seems to be in the way.
Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, trying to figure out how we help students or residents learn about the business and the delivery model is challenging because early in the educational process, you really want to learn about illness and how to diagnose mm-hmm. it, how to treat it, what are the right medications. And it's not until a little bit later in the educational process where you really have to deliver all of this knowledge in the context of business. So I don't know, Sarah, do you think you learn anything about this, or are we modeling it in a good way? Or
I certainly feel that we have been prepared a little bit as far as, you know, basic insurance models go. But I think most of our learning became in our third year when we're in the clinical, because at that point, you are caring for the patient, and there's social work and case workers and people coming and approaching you all the time saying, nope, you can't do this. Can we do this? Can we do this? And we're in these meetings every morning just trying to figure out ways around different things. Can we get this at home? What if we did this? What about rehab? So I think you kind of like, you know, have to learn it on the go. And certainly, you know, if as far as that goes, if you don't, you know, you kind of get that as you go along, and then you have to kind of work it out from there.
It occurs to me that part of the shift that has taken place is in all of these years is that we used to go to one doctor, and that one doctor might also be our surgeon, might be the person who took care of a spot that was a dermatologist would see today, or a thyroid problem, we might go to an endocrinologist. Now we have this wide spectrum of specialists, and we feel as if our, and again, I'm speaking for the patient, we feel as if everything's a little bit piecemeal and our doctors aren't talking to each other. And so we go, you know, from one to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, when in fact, we are one whole body. So how is that being addressed? Are there changes along that line?
Well, one of the systems in the United States that happens to be, I think, the largest system in the world is of this nature is the Veterans Administration system, where they actually do talk to each other. They have electronic medical records. Sarah has had experience mm-hmm. as a medical student in that. Maybe she can speak to how that works. Sarah, why don't you work in how you have changed, if you've changed at all, over the 4 years of your medical school?
Okay.
Two different related subjects.
certainly, as far to address kind of how I've changed and how I approached medical school, you have to have that drive to want to help people and be their advocate, or else I don't think you could survive it. Once you go into the clinical, if you're focused more on, you know, your grades and what everybody thinks of you rather than what the patient thinks of you, then you just kind of sink and, you know, instead of swim. So I think you have to have that initially, and then it gets all much more intense as you finish up medical school. As far as the Veterans Administration goes, their electronic medical records are impeccable, and their communication to each other is amazing. They even write each other different letters within the electronic medical system, so you can certainly pull up any of those and be able to see what the other person thought, what experience they had, what kind of notes they wrote about the patient, and that kind of thing. So.
Is that a system that you feel should be used in other places? Do you see that as a model based on your own usage?
I mean, I would say it would be nice, because you can certainly get their labs and kind of like what their visits have been like and medications all in one sort of concise area, but I'm sure there's many other things that we would have to work out with that before
absolutely.
You kind of took it.
And electronic medical records are in their infancy in many
right.
ways. The VA has done a great job of putting together right. a system, and of course we've had conversations before about those. And certainly that looks to be part of the future. We've only got a couple of minutes left. I'd like to talk about what we see in the future, including the role of the patient. And listeners know this is my big emphasis. We need to be taking responsibility from the patient's point of view. We know that care in so many ways has become fragmented from all of these things, all of these efforts that are not about the physician wanting to deliver the best care for us, but more about all the outside influences on whether that happens. So let's talk about the future and what patients can do. What kind of responsibilities can we be taking from the physician's point of view? Dr. Cleary?
I think as a patient, my advice would be to say, what is it that I need and want from my providers, from my physicians, whatever other providers I see? What do I need today when I go to see him or her? What do I need this month with regard to tests or medications? What do I need long term with this relationship? And to have that in mind as you navigate through meeting people, talking with them, and developing a sense of trust with people.
And, you know, I hear that word trust, and I love that word trust. I think that as patients, we need to not only know what we want, we need to articulate what we want. We need to say to our doctors, this is what I hope, this is what I expect. Would it be easier for doctors to deliver it if they knew?
I think it would be. This gets to the informed patient. We mm-hmm. would hope everybody would take time to learn about their disorder, their disease. Also, maybe learn about their physician a little bit.
Yes, yes. Get to know them. If you're going to establish a trust, it becomes a personal relationship. I sometimes say to people, some doctors, the ones you'll have a long-term relationship with, you need to choose like you'd choose a spouse, because you're going to know them almost as intimately as you choose a spouse. So I think that's great. Anything else? We only have a few seconds, but I want to make sure we get all our points. And I think this has been a wonderful conversation.
It's all about partnership with each other as providers, as patients, and with the systems and the insurers and the business folks that help us deliver this.
It is. And we're still in our partnership infancy, but I see it coming along very nicely. Dr. Eastwood?
Well, the only thing I would say, I congratulate Sarah for the profession she's chosen, and I wish her well.
Thank you.
And then, Sarah, as a representative of all of our medical students, I wish them well in their careers.
Absolutely true. Well, Dr. Gregory Eastwood, Sarah Fabiano, and Dr. Lynn Cleary, thank you so much for coming by this morning. Great discussion.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, we will be back in just a few moments. This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air on 570 WSYR.